Chapter 8. The massive beast came hurtling toward me, and I instinctively lifted my sword up to defend myself. I could feel Blah tense on my shoulder, and knew he was about to lunge off me, but I reached my other hand up and put it on his paw. I didn't want to hurt this dragon. I needed to let him know that. Ove was even larger than the portrait made him seem, and I thought about how terribly fitting his name was. The massive black dragon would fill anyone with fear, but what was truly fitting was that he'd been filled with fear by Vinrar. It was sadly poetic, and I frowned at the thought of it. This poor dragon had led the revolt against Vinrar, and he'd still wound up in a cell with him in the afterlife. I could feel Blah's body tense even more as he dug his claws into my shoulder. He was clearly upset Ove was coming toward us, but I knew he didn't want to hurt him either. He only wanted to protect me. I wasn't going to attack this dragon, though, not unless I absolutely had to. The huge creature got nearly to me before he abruptly pulled up, and the wind from his flight fanned against me. He landed a few feet away and flapped his wings menacingly, before he lowered his head to stare at me with narrowed yellow eyes. He was trying to look vicious, but all I could feel was his sadness. I couldn't hear his thoughts like I'd been able to with Nidhogg, and I didn't get the sense I could control him like I could Blah and the twins, but I could feel how he felt. He was not only sad, he was tormented. He felt compelled to obey Vinrar, even after everything the man had done to him. I couldn't understand that emotion, but I could feel it. He didn't want to hurt me. He'd never wanted to hurt anybody. He only wanted to stop being hurt. Vinrar continued to laugh and yell at Ove to attack, but the large dragon and I just stared at each other. I maintained eye contact as I set my sword on the ground and held my hands up so he could see I had nothing to harm him with. "It's okay," I whispered as I took a step toward the massive beast. "I won't hurt you." The dragon snorted, but his eyes softened a little bit, and he leaned his face down closer to me. Blah leaned out on my shoulder, and he was clearly interested in the other dragon, now that he no longer felt threatened. "Nobody will hurt you again," I told Ove. "I promise." He had no reason to believe me. The man he'd trusted with his life had only brought him torment, after all. Still, I could see his demeanor soften, and I could feel his emotions change. Ove was still sad, but a sense of calm came over him.
"Ove!"
Vinrar shouted, and his chains rattled as he jerked around and tried to get free. The dragon startled and looked over to him, but I took another step forward and held my hand out.
"It's okay. You don't have to listen to him any longer. He cannot control you here. He can't hurt you any longer."
Ove's huge yellow eyes locked onto mine, and he stared at me as I took another step forward, until I was right in front of him. Then the massive dragon lowered his head slightly, and I reached my hand out and placed it on his nose. His scales were slick and soft, like velvet under my hand, and I smiled and stroked his muzzle.
"You're all right."
I closed my eyes and leaned my forehead against the dragon's nose, and I could feel his eyes were closed as well. I could also sense his comfort and his trust in me, and it filled me with both sadness and pride. Blah leaned forward too, and the little blue dragon hopped onto Ove's nose and nuzzled him softly.
"We'll get you out of here. I promise. We'll find a way to free you. You don't deserve to be here."
"You'll free no one,"
Vinrar spat. I'd nearly forgotten there were others in the room. I'd been so focused on Ove, everything else had faded away for a moment. Vinrar's nasty voice brought me back to the moment, though, and I thought about the pain I'd sense from Ove. The feeling only made me hate Vinra that much more. I didn't understand how it was possible for someone to be so cruel. To think about my little dragons feeling that terrified made my stomach twist into knots. Blah gripped my shoulder, and I found the feeling of his talons pressed into my flesh oddly comforting. I'd discovered him as an egg and hatched him myself. The council had said they didn't know if Vinra could do the same, but I believed he could. I didn't know how he hatched the eggs, but more than that, I didn't know how he could have hatched them and still treated his dragon so poorly. They were such small, helpless creatures, and it was our job to protect them. They'd grow into fearsome beasts 100 times our size, but when their eggs hatched, they were vulnerable and sweet. My fists clenched in anger when I thought about Ove as a baby, and what he must have gone through with Vinra as a master, and I quickly reached down and picked up my sword so I could place the tip of it right between Vinra's collarbones. "Tell me how to fulfill the prophecy," I snarled. I was tired of his games. His dragon wouldn't attack me, I knew that, and I wasn't afraid of him. It was time for this asshole to tell me how to fix his screw-up.
"You won't get anybody out of here," Vinra told me with a hideous smile. "Ove's mine. He listens to me and me alone. You will suffer for this."
Not only was Vinra mad, he was delusional as well. It was clear Ove didn't care to obey him any longer. The great dragon had already gone against his wishes and allowed me to live, and I got the feeling he would do it again. Unlike his master, Ove didn't wish to harm anyone. I wondered if the man honestly believed his dragon still obeyed him, or if he was too proud to admit he'd lost all the power he'd once had. It must have upset him greatly to know he'd once been able to control the most ancient and deadly creatures in the 9 realms, and now he couldn't even control his own arms since they were in chains.
"I'm growing tired of your ranting," I seethed as I pushed the tip of my sword harder against Vinra's skin. "Tell me what I need to know. Tell me how to fulfill the prophecy."
"The prophecy has been fulfilled. It was me who fulfilled it. I saved the dragons from a much worse fate. They were too smart for their own good. I gave them a purpose."
"You abused them!"
I was unable to control my anger any longer.
"You beat them into submission! The dragons were too good for you! They didn't deserve the torture you put them through! You're nothing but a pathetic coward!
I never hurt them! I loved them! Don't you see I loved them?"
I had sensed the pain he'd caused the giant dragon next to me, and seen the fear on Ove's face in the portrait. Vinra had brought no joy to the world, only pain. It caused a century of suffering, and even though it was my destiny to end that suffering, I knew I couldn't give the dragons back the years and lives they'd lost because of this man. Vinra was a lying monster, and his declaration of love sent me over the edge. I lifted my sword back above my head, ready to strike him down right then. Only I couldn't bring myself to swing, because Ove's emotions overtook me. The dragon didn't want me to send him to the next level of Helheim, even after everything the man had put him through. The magnificent beast was still protecting him.
"Why?"
I asked, as I lowered my sword and looked at Ove's large yellow eyes. I couldn't understand why he would care about Vinra at all. If I were him, I would want the man far, far away from me. Ove was filled with a sort of protective sadness. He didn't want to love Vinra any longer, but he couldn't stop himself. The man had been with him since his infancy,
and while he'd been abusive, Ove couldn't help but think of him as a father of sorts. Ove's loyalty was too strong, and he felt the need to take care of Finra. The bastard wasn't worthy of Ove's love, or his loyalty, but I knew that wasn't my decision to make. The great dragon was intelligent and compassionate, and while I couldn't understand his desire to save his abuser, I wouldn't do anything to cause him pain. I will respect your wishes. I sighed and put my sword back into its sheath. I wanted nothing more than to chop Vinrar's head off and send him to the next level of torment, but that would cause Ove pain, and that was something I simply couldn't do, no matter how much I thought the bastard deserved it.
He doesn't want you to harm Vinrar, does he?
Kaas asked softly. No, I answered with a sympathetic smile. He doesn't. Inga and Ufe jumped off the girl's shoulders then and went over to Ove. Ufe ran right over to the giant creature's paw and sniffed it while Inga flew up to his nose and sat down. I was about to chastise the little dragons, but Ove seemed pleased to have them near him. Even Blar joined in, and the little blue dragon flew up and over Ove and ran along his back playfully. Ove's yellow eyes crossed as he looked at Inga on the tip of his nose, and the little red dragon cooed to him and rubbed her face against his scales. The massive dragon let out a guttural sound I thought was meant to be playful, though it sounded incredibly menacing. Then Inga flew up and over Ove to land on his back next to Blar and Ufe then, and the massive dragon turned his long neck around so he could see the three of them. My baby dragons looked tiny compared to the great beast they were on. It was incredible to think one day they would be that big, or at least very close. Inga and Ufe would look similar to Ove, since they were the same kind of dragon, but I wasn't sure what Blar would look like. I imagined he would appear as just a larger version of himself, but he had plenty of time to grow, and I had a feeling he might surprise me. I had a basis for what Inga and Ufe would look like, but I didn't have that with Blar. The little blue dragon could sprout another set of legs, and I wouldn't be able to say whether it was abnormal or not. As I watched the three of them play, with Ufe circling his head and diving at him from the air while he playfully snapped his teeth at them, I couldn't help but feel a sense of sadness. I wanted to know about Blar and where he came from. The feeling of Ove's joy overpowered my sadness, though, and I couldn't help the smile that came to my face as I watched the four of them together. It reminded me of how they'd been with Nidhogg. Even though Ove was 100 times as large as they were, the little dragons didn't fear him at all. Blar had been ready to attack before, but that was only because he felt I was in danger. As soon as he realized I wasn't going to fight Ove, he calmed down and allowed himself to focus on his curiosity for the massive creature. Dragons respected one another. Ove turned back to me after a moment, and I could feel something had changed. Then he nodded to me and lowered his neck.
Wrath,
Asta said as she and Kaas walked over to me.
What's going on?
I think he wants us to climb onto his back. I could feel Ove was excited, like he had something to show us.
On his back?
Kaas gasped.
It doesn't matter what you do.
Vinrar spat out as he jerked against his chains again.
You'll never free him. He's stuck here with me forever.
I pursed my lips, and then I walked over to where Ove had his neck outstretched and grabbed one of the small spikes that went down his back so I could lift myself up. It felt strange to be on his back, but I could tell somehow that that was what he wanted. I helped the girls up, and once we were all on him, the large dragon looked back at me. I nodded to let him know we were ready, and I swore I saw him smile before he turned back around. His large wings began to flap,
and wind flurried around us for a moment before I experienced the sensation of weightlessness overcome me as we lifted off the ground. I'd considered the fact that one day Blah might be large enough for me to ride, but being on Ove's back was incredible. I felt small but powerful all at the same time. I could feel his large muscles tense under my legs and the smoothness of his scales under my fingers. Though I couldn't hear him or control him, there was a sort of understanding between us. He was happy to have us on his back where Vinrar had once ridden. Dragons weren't meant to be ridden for sport or showmanship. They were sacred beasts who should be respected. One should only ride a dragon if it is offered to them. I sensed this was a great honor Ove had given us, and I basked in every second of it. I held on to Ove's backspike, and the girls held on to me as the great dragon flapped his wings and flew us to the ceiling. I wasn't sure where we were headed, but just before I thought we were about to crash into the ceiling, it opened up into another room, and Ove slowly circled it once before landing gently on the ground.
"Where are we?"
Cass whispered. "I don't know." I shook my head and climbed off Ove's back. The room we were in was all brick, and there was a hole in the middle of the floor where I could see down into Vinrar's cell. This place wasn't nice by any means, but it was much nicer than the cell below. There was even a large fireplace in the corner, and some straw on the ground by it. I realized this must be where Ove lived. He didn't actually stay inside the cell with Vinrar. Instead, he had his own area away from him. I still didn't like him being in Helheim, but I felt better knowing he wasn't trapped with Vinrar all the time. I wondered then if Ove hadn't been forced to be in Helheim at all. The dragon obviously still cared for Vinrar, and it was his test I had to pass in order to fulfill the prophecy. Had Ove chosen to come to Helheim with his master so he could help fulfill the prophecy? I knew some dragons had special abilities, and I was curious if Ove was one of them. Could the great dragon see the future, or did he maybe know about the prophecy before he came to Helheim, and that's why he'd chosen to come? Oh, perhaps Odin wasn't wrong. I wished I could communicate with Ove so I could ask him to explain, but I didn't think feeling his emotions would give me the answers I wanted. I glanced around at the black dragon's lair again. The room was maybe twice the size of the giant creature, so it was a tight squeeze for him and the rest of us, and his massive body seemed to fill the entirety of the space. Then the dragon nodded to a dark blue chest with golden accents in the far corner of the room. I walked over to the chest and opened it. Inside it was velvet, and in their own little cutouts sat three small bottles. One was tall and light green, another was short, round, and purple, and the last was deep blue and shaped like a triangle. Each of them were empty and sealed with a cork at the top.
"The man we saw on the road said you would have to get the water from three wells,"
Cass reminded me as she looked over my shoulder.
"That must be what those are for,"
Asta gasped.
"To collect the water."
"Which one is for which?" I mused. Ove snorted, and I looked back to see him nod to me. He was trying to communicate something, so I focused on his feelings. He was proud of me, and I realized I'd passed some sort of test before when I'd spared Vinrar for him. If I'd killed the man instead of listening to Ove, then I wouldn't have been worthy to have the bottles or save the dragons. This wasn't about finding Vinrar at all. He had no knowledge to give me. This was about finding Ove and proving to him I held the best interests of the dragons above all else, even my own anger and desire for vengeance. I'd passed his test, and now I was worthy to finish the quest and free his brethren. "Thank you," I told the great dragon, and he stared back at me with yellow eyes full of hope. I had the three vials to fill up. Now, all I needed to do was figure out what three wells I needed to go to. As I looked into Ove's deeply sad and hopeful eyes,
I knew I couldn't fail.
It was bittersweet saying goodbye to Ove. I assured him we would be back to save him, and that I would do whatever it took to free his fellow dragons. But I still didn't want to leave him there. I knew we had no choice at the moment, though, so I placed my forehead against his nose once again, while the little dragons climbed all over him. Kaas and Asta bowed to him too, and he bowed back. Then I called the baby dragons down from his back and had Blah open a portal for us to get home. We arrived in Asgard, down by the water, just before sunset. We'll have to go through town to get home, but Ramir's shop is along the way, so let's stop there. I want to see what he knows about the wells.
Good idea.
Kaas nodded.
I was going to suggest the same thing. How will we know which vial goes to which well? Do you think Ramir would know?
I'm not sure how he could. I frowned. But we'll figure it out. I wasn't sure how I would know what bottle to fill at which well, but I'd passed Ove's test, and that gave me hope for the future of the quest. If I really was the master of dragons, then I figured the answer would come to me when I needed it. I had the dragons hop off our shoulders, and then we headed from the water up to town. Ramir's shop wasn't too far away, and we managed to make it there just before the sun set for the evening. The bell chimed as I pushed the door open and walked inside. "Ramir!" I called.
"Ah! Right, hello!"
The old man popped up from behind the counter.
"Ah, back so soon?"
Blah, Inger, and Ufe flew over to Ramir and landed on the counter in front of him, and the old man smiled and scratched under each of their chins before he pulled some sweets from his pocket and gave each of them a piece.
"Our spell was only supposed to last 6 hours, but it lasted longer than that since Asta and I are stronger with Rat near us."
"And were you able to find Finra?"
"We were."
"Did you give him a good slap for me?"
The old man narrowed his eyes and held his fist up in anger.
"I'm afraid not. Ove didn't want him harmed."
"Oh, that's his dragon's name, that's right."
Ramir nodded. "Yes. Before we met him, though, we ran into a man on the way there. He said we would need to collect water from 3 wells. And then Ove gave me these." I pulled the vials out of my satchel and held them out for Ramir to see.
"Met a man on the way to Vinra, you say?"
he asked as he studied the vials curiously.
"He was quite drunk seeming."
Asta nodded.
"His armor. Did it have a dragon on it?"
"How did you know that?" My eyes narrowed on the old man.
"You met Jarek."
"You know that man. Why didn't you tell us about him before?"
"I didn't think he had anything to do with this. He was banished long ago."
"He said he tried to fulfill the prophecy before I did."
"Ah, I wouldn't doubt that."
The old man nodded sadly.
"Jarek was on the council, and Odin held him in very high regard before the incident. He tried to convince Odin to talk some sense into the people of Asgard, but the citizens were out for blood, and Odin refused. He banished the dragons instead, and Jarek tried to stop him."
"That's what he said, too."
Kaas frowned.
"It's so sad that Odin would do that, especially to someone he was close with."
"Oh, being a ruler is no easy task,"
Ramir said, and he reached out and touched Kaas's arm gently.
"And the Allfather sees all. He had his reasons."
"I still don't think it's right."
"It's not."
Ramir smiled sympathetically.
"But many things aren't. Did Jarek say anything else to you?"
"Not much." I shook my head. "I told him I would come back for him."
"I hope you're able to. He doesn't deserve such a fate."
"Do you know about the 3 wells he spoke of?"
"Of course!"
The old man smiled.
"You do too. You've already seen one of them, after all."
"I have?"
My eyebrows furrowed together in confusion.
Well, you met Nidhogg, right?
Yes, I nodded.
Then I presume you met him at his well in Niflheim.
There was a well there. My eyes widened as realization dawned on me. So we already know where one is.
Yes! The tale goes that Yggdrasil's roots extended into three of the nine realms where the wells were. One led to Niflheim, and the well Vergelmir, where Nidhogg resides. You've been to that one?
Right.
Kaas nodded eagerly.
Another led to Jotunheim and the well Mimisbrunner.
That's the well Odin sacrificed his eye to. It's the well of knowledge.
Right, my dear.
Ramir smiled at his daughter.
And the last route led to Asgard and Urdabrunner, the well of the fates.
There's a well right here in Asgard?
Technically it's at the base of the Tree of Life.
Ramir said with a wave of his hand.
But it can be accessed from here, so yes, we'll say it's here.
I thought you said the routes led to different realms.
Asta frowned.
They do! But the wells are technically under Yggdrasil. However, they can be accessed through these realms, and that will be the easiest way for you to get to them.
So, we need to get to Jotunheim.
And find the well that's there. And find Nidhogg's well again.
Asta bit her lip.
That's a lot of searching.
Maybe not so much. I know how to get to the well here in Asgard.
You do?
Kaas's eyes widened as she leaned toward her father. How did we not know about this before?
It's hidden below the castle. You'll have to go below the dungeon to get to it.
That means we'll have to sneak into the castle again.
Asta sighed and wrung her hands.
We do a lot of sneaking, don't we?
I think that comes with the territory.
Ramir winked at the elf girl.
You would think Odin would want to fix this.
Kaas muttered and crossed her arms.
It's partially his fault anyway.
Fault is in the eye of the beholder, my darling.
Ramir told his daughter.
Fate is unavoidable.
Kaas pursed her lips, but she nodded her understanding. If Odin hadn't made that decision, then we wouldn't be where we were right now. And I rather liked where we were at. I had two beautiful women soul-bonded with me, three tiny dragons that loved me, and the tools I needed to keep old dragons from being enslaved ever again. Things were beginning to look up.
Is it safe to return to the castle so soon? We were just there not too long ago.
Good point. We can get the other vials filled first.
We should probably wait to fill the one in Niflheim. We have to return the vials to Nidhogg anyway, right?
Right. I nodded. It appears we're going to Jotunheim, then.
That will give us more time to train Blarv with the portal making.
Kaas said, and her violet eyes sparkled with excitement.
We might be able to portal right to the well under the castle.
We'll have to find it, though. I frowned.
We can enchant a map.
Kaas said as she bounced on the balls of her feet.
Good idea, daughter.
Ramir snapped his fingers.
I can help. We'll enchant it to show you where the fells are.
That would be very helpful, I told him.
I do what I can.
The old man smiled at me. We don't need any more tail feathers, do we? I smirked.
Not this time.
Ramir led us back to his study, and he took the map Kaas had and laid it on the table. Then the old man looked at the map she'd previously enchanted to show us where the portals were in the countryside.
This shouldn't be too difficult. The map is already enchanted to show hidden things. We'll simply add to the enchantment.
How do we do that?
Asta asked as she leaned forward with wide, curious eyes.
I'm glad you asked, dear, because I could use your help.
Mine?
Asta grinned from ear to ear.
We are looking for wells. Some of your rain casting to bring water to the spell would make it that much stronger.
Of course. Just tell me what to do.
Come over here,
Ramir instructed. The old man pulled out his compass and placed it on the map, and then he grabbed Kaas's hand and held out his other hand to Asta. The elf girl took his hand, and the one Kaas offered her as well, so they formed a triangle around the map.
Blah landed on my right shoulder in order to get a better view, and Inga landed on my left one a second later. Then there was a strange scratching sensation on my leg, and I looked down to see Ufe climbing his way up me to try to get a view as well. I shook my head and leaned down to grab the small red dragon, and I held him in my arms as Blah and Inga settled onto my shoulders. I could feel their tails draped down my back, and the coolness of their scales felt good against the exposed skin on my neck. Kaas and Ramir began reciting something they'd clearly practiced before, and the compass on the table stood up on its own and started to move across the map. After a moment of that, Ramir nodded to Asta, and the nature sorceress cast rain over the map. The water dissolved as soon as it hit the paper and stained it with new markings where it should have been wet. The map changed from the countryside to a new place, to Asgard, to another new place. I wasn't sure if this would help Blah travel to these places, but it couldn't hurt. If he was able to envision where we were headed, it would definitely help. Finally, Kaas and Ramir's whispering stopped, and the compass laid itself back down again.
All done!
Thank you, Ramir, I told him with a smile. I really appreciate it, all of you.
Of course.
Kaas grinned.
I was happy to help.
Asta's yellow eyes crinkled as she smiled sweetly. Well, how do we use it?
Kaas, would you care to demonstrate?
Ramir gestured to the parchment with a flourish.
Sure.
The strawberry blonde stepped up to the map, held out her hand, closed her eyes, and muttered something to herself. Then she slid her hand across the paper, and it changed to a different place altogether.
Wow! Impressive! This is Jotunheim. We'll just need to speak where we're going, then wipe our hand across the map to change it. As you can see, the well is over here.
I looked on the map and saw the well in the far corner. It appeared to be nestled in the mountain somewhere, and I wondered how easy it would be to find, even with the map. The realms we were traveling to were quite large, so I'd have to work with Blah to try and get his traveling abilities even more precise. The amulet had helped a lot, and he was a quick study, so I had no doubt he would be able to pick it up easily. After Ramir helped the girls enchant the map, it was time for us to head back home for the evening. It was already dark out, and the streets were mostly dark, except for the market, which was open late. There were lanterns up to light the way as we passed through, and I could smell the food and mead the vendors were selling. It made my mouth water, and the first thing I was going to do when we got home was pour myself a cup of mead to quench the thirst that had overcome me. We had a lot to celebrate, after all. We hadn't fulfilled the prophecy yet, but we were one step closer, and that felt like a win. By the time we arrived back home a few hours later, everyone was quiet and seemed tired, so I started a fire and gathered some vegetables and meat to make our dinner. Blah yawned and stretched before laying down by my feet, so he was close to the flames. Inga joined him a moment later, and Ufe curled up on the other side of me. Kaas and Asta took their usual seats across the fire, and once I had dinner on the flames, I went inside and got us each a pint of mead. Cheers, I told them as I handed them the glasses.
Cheers.
Kaas smiled and clinked her glass to mine.
Yes, cheers.
Asta grinned and did the same. I took a long pull of my mead and savored the warmth of it inside my belly before sitting it on the ground next to me. Blah walked over and curiously sniffed at the glass. Blah, I chastised playfully, and the little dragon looked away as if he hadn't been about to take a drink.
Perhaps when you're larger. Can dragons have mead?
Kaas's eyebrows pulled together with confusion. I don't know, but even if they can, I think they should be more than a month old before they do.
That seems fair.
Blah glared at me, spun around, and laid back down next to Inga. I smiled at his attitude before I picked up my glass and took another swig. It wasn't much longer until dinner was ready, and then I dished up everyone's plates. I set the dragon's plates on the ground in front of them, and they eagerly lined up to eat. Everyone was quiet as they enjoyed their food, and I relished in the small sounds of their eating. I always felt that was the best way to tell if food was good. A flavorful meal typically caused everyone to be quiet while they ate, since they wanted to enjoy the food, so talking was put on the back burner. However, if the meal wasn't very good, then the conversation would usually continue. Judging by everyone's silence, I figured the meal was quite tasty. I smiled to myself as I finished eating, and I took another drink of my mead. It was about time for a refill, so I headed inside to fill up my glass. While I was in there, I noticed the room was quite messy, so I took the opportunity to tidy up some. I put all our armor neatly in the corner, and then I lit the fire and filled up the tub so I could throw our garments in to soak and get clean. I also put away the cookware and straightened up the bed. Ugh, I hadn't realized how messy things had gotten, but we'd been busy the past few days, so it made sense the room would get neglected. Besides, we spent a lot of time outside, so it wasn't usually an issue. The door creaked open behind me, and I turned around to see Kaas standing in the doorway.
Hey, what are you doing in here?
Oh, I came to get mead, but then I started to tidy up. I'm sorry, I'll come back out right now.
No, that's okay.
Kaas bit her lip and looked back outside before turning back to me.
Asta and the dragons are asleep.
Oh, all of them?
Yeah.
The sorceress nodded.
Asta lay down by the fire, and Blar and Inga curled up next to her. Ufe is on the other side, nestled up by your boots.
I smiled at the thought of the little dragon sleeping by my shoes. He was so independent compared to Blar and Inga. The two of them had been virtually inseparable since Inga and Ufe had hatched, which was ironic, too, considering Inga and Ufe were literal twins. Now the two of them couldn't be more opposite. Blar and Inga were quite similar, though, and they got along well. I wouldn't be surprised if they grew to love each other one day. I thought about how interesting their children would look, and if they would even be able to breed at all. Could dragons of different subspecies breed? They clearly weren't the same type of dragon, but Aesir could produce offspring with other subspecies, so maybe dragons could too. Should we bring them a blanket?
I threw some more wood on the fire. I think they'll be all right.
Okay. I nodded and gestured to her empty glass. More mead?
Yes, please.
The strawberry blonde said, and she passed me her cup. I filled both our glasses and took a drink before I handed Kaas's glass back to her. The sweet ale was smooth as it went down, and I savored the taste as I watched Kaas wander over to the bed and take a seat. The moonlight shone in through the window and illuminated Kaas beautifully. Her mane of curls was like a halo around her head, and her pale skin glowed with the starlight. Her soft pink lips wrapped around the edge of her glass to take a drink, and I couldn't help but watch them as they did. She was absolutely beautiful, and the sight of her was enough to make my stomach flutter with anticipation. You weren't tired?
Not really.
She smiled up at me.
It's been a long day, but I can't stop thinking about everything.
No, I know what you mean, I told her, and I walked over to sit down next to her on the bed. Kaas looked up at me through her light eyelashes, and her violet eyes shimmered in the moonlight. I could see the desire in them, and I realized she wanted me just as bad as I wanted her. And it was time for me to take her.